So first of all, I'd like to thank my co-authors, and then we'll just jump right into it. We're going to be talking about issues salient to HIV testing, STD testing, and the receipt of sexual and reproductive health care among Hispanic youth. So first, I'm going to give a little bit of background on the project through which this data was collected, and then we'll discuss some of the drivers that are associated with healthcare usage. In particular, in this analysis, we're going to be looking at the effects of acculturation. We're going to walk through how these things were related to testing and care, and then we're going to talk about some of the implications. But first, this data came from Project Connect, which is a cooperative agreement between CDC and Health Research Association in Los Angeles, California. Project Connect is a multi-level intervention with interventions at three levels, to parents, within schools, and within the linkage between students at risk for STD infection and appropriate community healthcare providers. There were a total of 26 schools in this study. We're really going to focus on data from the six intervention high schools and their matched controls. All of these schools were located in the Los Angeles Unified School District. They were selected in part because they had chlamydia and birth rates that were higher or exceeded the Healthy People 2010 goals. In Project Connect, there was a heavy emphasis on the linkage between youth at risk for STD infection and appropriate and responsive healthcare provision. And why was that? For one thing, the AMA recommends that youth be screened annually for sexual activity. If they're sexually active, they should be screened for STDs, which coincidentally aligns with a number of recommendations, including CDC and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. Those that are positive should be given a diagnostic test, a treatment plan, and prevention counseling. Well, this is problematic. And by problematic, I mean, appropriate screening and care. And by problematic, I mean from multiple perspectives, and also both on the part of the youth and the provider. In actuality, it's unlikely that a youth will receive annual preventive care, and by that I mean the annual physical or wellness checkup. Less than 4 in 10 youth receive reporting annual preventive care. When they do receive preventive care, many report that they don't have time alone with their provider. And time alone with a provider is a proxy measure. Time alone with a provider is when the youth will get to discuss sensitive issues like sexual activity or substance use. For white youth, you see about half of them reporting that they have time alone with a provider. For Hispanic youth, this drops down to about a quarter. When providers do ask youth about their sexual histories, it's likely that they use some sort of algorithm to do this. This may be an informal algorithm based on what the provider thinks might put the youth at risk for STD infection. Characteristics of youth that are more likely to be asked about or to report discussing STDs with their provider are being female, being older, and being of a lower SES. Now, the part of this analysis that goes beyond looking at what you might think of as more traditional markers of healthcare usage testing deal with acculturation. There are a number of different definitions of acculturation out there, but the one that we're going to be using today is this. Acculturation is a process in which members of one cultural group adopt the beliefs and behaviors of another group. Now, there are a number of markers of acculturation. For this analysis, we're going to be using three. Generation of immigration, primary language spoken at home, and survey language. So before we move on to how acculturation may affect testing and care, let's define some of these terms. Here, when I reference first generation, I'm talking about a situation where both the youth and both of their parents are foreign born. Second generation would be where the youth is U.S. born, parents are foreign born, and third generation is where both the youth and the parents are foreign born. In this case, we would consider first generation youth to be the less acculturated youth. For language, we had the two measures, primary language spoken at home. Here, youth who spoke only Spanish at home or only some other language other than English would be considered less acculturated. Likewise, youth who elected to take the survey in Spanish would also be considered less acculturated. So if we look at the literature on acculturation and its interplay with testing and care, the picture can be a little confusing. But we do know this. Receipt of an annual physical, so routine preventive care, increases between generations. Second generation is more likely than first generation, and third generation more likely than second generation to report receiving preventive care. Now, there are a number of reasons why this might be so, including reasons related to SES and maybe issues related to immigration. For example, first generation youth may be more likely to live in lower socioeconomic conditions. They may be more likely to live at or below the poverty level, to have parents who report less, to report having parents with less education, and parents with less facility with the English language. These things, along with unfamiliarity with the U.S. healthcare system, might make it more difficult for them to access care. So this brings us to our primary study questions. For this sample of Hispanic youth, What are the impacts of the more traditional known factors that influence testing and care? And further, what role does acculturation play in testing and care? And to look at these things, we did a series of logistic regressions looking at three main outcomes: whether the youth had ever been STD tested, ever been HIV tested, or ever received any sexual or reproductive health care. Data was self-reported. Now, for this last variable, ever received sexual or reproductive health care, the youth was said to have received sexual reproductive health care if they endorsed any one of five items: having a penis or vagina check, being examined for discharge, unusual bleeding or sores, been given a pregnancy test, been talked to about how to prevent pregnancy or STD infection, or been given birth control. For the STD and HIV testing analysis, we looked only at sexually experienced youth. For the sexual and reproductive health care analysis, we looked at all youth. Now on this slide, you'll see some of the variables that we discussed earlier that are more traditionally associated with testing and care. First, though, because this was an intervention trial, we did control for intervention status. And as you might have guessed, also we had concerns about nesting. So we did control for individual level, like between subjects and within groups effects. Those results aren't presented in part because I think they might bore you to tears. So to get on to what were actually in the analysis, all of the analyses included age. Age at first sex was included in the STD and the HIV analyses. Whether or not they had ever had sex was included in the sexual and reproductive health care analysis. We included gender, and then two measures of SES. One was if you were in the reduced price or free lunch program. The other is if you lived in a two-parent household as compared to a household in which there were less than two parents. For youth, we had two variables. One was receipt of preventive care visit in the past year. And we also looked at whether or not the youth had had an acute care visit in the past year, because often youth will go to a physician for reasons like illness, sickness, things like this, injury, but this might be the only visit that they have that year, which is why it's included. And we also included these enculturation measures, which we talked about before. So a little bit about the sample. And I sat in the back of the room yesterday, so I know you can't see this, and I apologize. The average age was between 16 and 17. Slightly less than half reported having sex. For the sexually experienced youth, the age of initiation was around 15. It was 14 and 3/4. There were slightly more females than males in the overall sample, though this reversed in the analysis of sexually experienced youth. Nearly 70% reported living in a two-parent household. 65% reported having preventive care in the past year. 50% reported receiving acute care in the past year. Nearly 3/4 were second generation, and more than half reported speaking primarily English and Spanish at home. Notably, nearly 1/3 reported speaking Spanish only at home. Almost all of the youth elected to take the survey in English. And you see the sample sizes are fairly large. This is data across 5 waves. Here you can see a little bit more about the intersection between generation of immigration and language spoken at home. The width of the bars is related to the percentage indicating each. So you have language spoken at home here on the bottom. The widest bar is English and Spanish. So most of the people, like I said, in our sample spoke English and Spanish, followed by Spanish, and then English. If you look on the side, you see generation of immigration. So if you put these two things together, the largest subsample here are second generation youth who spoke both English and Spanish, followed by first generation youth speaking both English and Spanish, and then first generation youth speaking Spanish only. On the flip side, the smallest groups that we had were third generation groups speaking only Spanish at home and first generation groups speaking only English at home. So on to the results. For STD and HIV testing, the results for the covariates were remarkably consistent. Youth were more likely to report STD and HIV testing if they were in the intervention, if they were older, if they were female, and you can see that this is a large one, 130% more likely to report STD testing and 97% more likely to report STD testing than HIV testing as compared to boys. If they had a preventive care visit in the past year, they were more likely to report STD and HIV testing. If they'd seen a provider for an acute reason in the past year, they were only more likely to report HIV testing. Students were less likely to report STD and HIV testing if they had early sexual debut, and if they did not live in a two-parent household as compared to those living with both parents. Now, if we look at our acculturation variables, we see that second-generation youth were 13% less likely to receive HIV testing than first-generation youth. There were no effects comparing third-generation and first-generation, and there were no effects for STD testing per generation of immigration. English speakers were 37% more likely and English-Spanish speakers 17% more likely to receive STD testing than Spanish-only speakers. And English-only speakers were 33% more likely to receive HIV testing than Spanish speakers. Students taking the survey in English were nearly 2 times more likely to receive STD testing than those taking it in Spanish. And I think those who elected to take the survey in Spanish are arguably the least acculturated group. For sexual and reproductive health care, we see that students were more likely to receive care if they were older, if they had ever had sex, so that's a good thing, I think we can agree, if they had had a preventive care visit in the past year, and if they had seen a healthcare provider for an acute reason in the past year. They were less likely to receive sexual and reproductive health care if they were female. If we look at our acculturation variables here, we see that second-generation youth were 17% less likely than first-generation youth to receive sexual and reproductive health care. English-only speakers were 21% more likely, and English-Spanish speakers 18% more likely to receive sexual and reproductive health care than Spanish-only speakers. There were no differences in survey language for this variable. So what can we conclude from this? Well, the providers that the youth in this study have seen probably follow a similar risk algorithm as the literature might suggest. They're screening older youth, females, and youth with markers of low SES and sexually experienced youth. Although on the whole, this might do a decent job of picking out youth at risk, there are clearly some missed opportunities. Youth who report earlier ages of sexual debut, a clear risk factor for STD, are less likely to report STD and HIV testing. Now on the plus side, youth who receive preventive care are more likely to receive sexual and reproductive health care and STD and HIV testing. But keep in mind that 35% of the youth in this study have not received a preventive care visit in the past year. And if you break down these percentages a little bit further, if you look within those who have not had a preventive care visit in the past year, 35% of them have never had sexual and reproductive health care, which means that roughly 20% of this entire sample, or 60% of those kids who report having a preventive visit in the past year but not receiving sexual and reproductive health care ever, had an opportunity to do so in the year prior. When we look at the role acculturation played, we see a couple of things. One, the primary language spoken at home seems to have more of an impact than generation of immigration. Youth who come from Spanish-only speaking homes are less likely to get testing and care. Now, we don't know why exactly based on this study, but it could be a number of things. It could be in part because they have fewer resources to help them navigate through the healthcare system, i.e. they might have parents who have less facility with the English language. If you remember, this subgroup constitutes nearly 1/3 of the sample. The other thing that we see is that second-generation kids may be falling through the cracks. Again, we can't answer why, but it may be this. It may be third-generation kids are more likely to be more acculturated, so they have more facility with the English language. They might be more knowledgeable about the U.S. healthcare system. Conversely, for first-generation kids, the healthcare system might be more likely to zero in for them on them for care when they come in because they might think that they're more at risk for other reasons, like low SES, et cetera. The second-generation kids are the odd man out in this. So what should we do? Providers should routinely take a thorough sexual history, including age of initiation, along with a social history. And that social history should include information on acculturation, especially for youth with foreign-born parents, etc. And providers should be aware of the unique needs of youth who are not fully acculturated, especially second-generation youth, where there may be concerns related to immigration status. So thank you very much. These are the people who worked on Project Connect.